tragic outcome.
An incomprehensible tragedy that has devastated a family and an entire community. The death of a young boy, Everett Smith, just 23 months old, left in a hot vehicle for hours outside the school where his mother was teaching. Good evening. The story is being met with shock and sadness in the town of Bancroft. The details, heartbreaking.
The toddler unnoticed in that car until the end of the day as southern Ontario sweltered under a heat warning. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live in Bancroft tonight with more. Beth.
Michelle, lots of tears here in the community, days still after this tragedy. I had the chance to speak to the boy's grandfather, and he just talked about his smile, his personality, that really would light up a room. And, you know, this population here is just 3,900 people, and really there isn't someone in the community that doesn't know the family directly or know someone that knows the family. So that's how personal and just how close everyone is feeling Everett's loss. I'm outside the high school where his mom teaches, and there is a very large memorial, beautiful pictures of Everett, and people are really wanting to come by here to remember this special boy here in Bancroft.
Happy, entertaining little boy with an infectious grin.
In the small town of Bancroft, the memorial keeps growing. This is a community in mourning, as is 23-month-old Everett Smith's grandfather, Dr. Wayne Lord, speaking here on the phone.
My last memories of him are, coming in the house door and seeing me and smiling from ear to ear and just running over.
Lord says on Thursday, Everett's mom, who teaches at the local high school, meant to drop off Everett at daycare. It wasn't until the end of the school day she discovered Everett still in the car. Lord says something stressful happened to his daughter the day before, and it hadn't been her routine to take Everett to daycare in recent weeks.
Between being very distressed and just, you know, a small mistake, but with very tragic outcome.
Everybody's really reeling in town from this right now.
Mayor Paul Jenkins has been a family friend for 30 years and babysat Everett with his wife. He says great efforts were made to save Everett once he was found.
While this has been a huge shock and tragedy to the immediate family and friends, I think we also have to acknowledge the folks at the high school who did a very valiant effort in trying to save him, etc. So there's a lot of trauma being felt by a lot of people, right?
For a boy being remembered for his smile, a family grieving his loss. Flags were also lowered at the local police station on Friday to in honor of Everett. The family has also set up a memorial trust fund to help raise money for his daycare. His family says he loved going to daycare. Reporting live in Bancroft, I'm Beth McDonnell. Michelle, Nathan, back to you.
Thank you, Beth. And in just the last few minutes, Everett's parents have released a statement as part of a new memorial fund. The statement reads, "One look at his infectious grin and your worries would melt away. We knew his smile was meant to change the world. Tragically, Everett is no longer with us, but we know that he would want to keep doing the best for his friends as he sips his milk and asks for more toppings on his toast." And our online team is tracking every development with this story. You can find that coverage at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
And staying east of the city, a fatal shooting investigation is underway in Cobourg tonight. Gunfire ringing out late this morning near King and Division Street. A man was taken to hospital where he died of his injuries. Few other details are being released at this point.
Next to a terrifying scene playing out on a busy downtown street.
A violent bank robbery in the heart of the downtown core. A worker seriously hurt. CTV's Raheem Ladani is live near Spadina and Dundas with more. Raheem.
Well, Nathan and Michelle, the amount of foot traffic on both this street and going into the bank in the middle of the afternoon adds to just how brazen this attack was, and police are still searching for the suspect. On a busy Spadina Avenue, police officers are focused on this Bank of Montreal in Chinatown after a violent robbery in broad daylight. Police say the holdup happened just before 1 in the afternoon. The suspect jumped the counter and then proceeded to stab an employee with a knife multiple times before fleeing the scene. The victim was taken to hospital with injuries described as serious but not life-threatening. The incident has those walking by in shock.
I thought it's only like happened like after the busy day or something like that, but even in the morning, like everyone is here, you know? It's robbery.
Police described the suspect as a male wearing a white mask, red hoodie, and yellow toque. He was also wearing a black backpack, red shoes, blue jeans, and a dark coat with white stripes. Anita Silva says this is not the first time this branch has been robbed.
They went in, they asked for money and everything, and, you know, they have the procedure. Boom, 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 they give them the money.
Silva says she was inside with her mother when it was robbed around 5 years ago.
This is one too many times that they keep happening over and over again.
A sign that reads, branch closed due to emergency, hangs on the door as police continue their investigation, although customers are still able to enter the building to use the ATM. What you're looking at right now is one of the security cameras positioned outside the bank. There are two of them in each corner on either side of the entrance, and that may help police identify the suspect. Now, about 10 minutes ago, all of the officers who were inside the bank packed up and left, but it's still unclear how long this branch will remain closed. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thanks, Raheem. Having your car stolen is every driver's nightmare. Now, imagine it happening twice in the span of just a few months.
That was the reality for one Toronto man, but it turns out a simple yet effective high-tech solution came to the rescue, and it could help you too. CTV's John Musselman is live with more on this. John.
Well, Michelle, we know that thieves are using high-tech technology to steal cars, but in this case, the victim used the same technology to get his car back.
30 in the morning, I wake up. And my kids are, Daddy, Daddy, your car's gone.
He doesn't want to be identified, but this resident near Avenue Road in Lawrence has had two Range Rovers stolen from his driveway in the past 2 months. This is security video showing the thieves driving away last Thursday morning with his replacement Range Rover. But this story has a much different ending. The owner placed these Apple AirTags inside the car. His phone alerted him to the location.
One in the glove box, which I sort of used as my decoy, figuring that if someone were to find it, they would throw it out and think that that's all there was. But I had one embedded behind the back seats, and I had one in the trunk in my spare tires.
The thieves found the glove box locator, but they missed the other two. The resident tells CTV News he tracked the vehicle to a location near Warden and Eglinton in Scarborough. That's when he notified the police again.
I showed them on my phone where my car was. And 1 hour later, three officers met me there, and I took out my key, which I brought with me, pressed my panic button, and what do you know, my alarm was going off. And so I was able to basically uncover my car, and I found out later that my car was one of nine cars that happened to be there.
Toronto police have confirmed to CTV News Toronto that the man's vehicle has been successfully recovered, but they won't comment further as it's an ongoing investigation. In this situation, the locator tags worked.
If there is a way to disincentivize them from doing this again in the future, if there's ways to, you know, protect other people in the city, then that's sort of, you know, what I want to do.
But keep in mind, these locator tags can also be used by the car thieves. They'll stick them on a car or truck in a shopping mall parking lot and then track them to a driveway where they can steal them in the middle of the night. Experts say the best defense is to keep your car in a garage if you have one, and also keep your key fob in a security pouch like this one so thieves can't read it from outside your front door.
And this man's car is being fingerprinted for further investigation, but he's hoping to get his vehicle back in the next day or two. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you, Nathan.
All right, thank you, John. Let's take a look outside on this Monday evening, much cooler compared to the last few days. Are there some unsettled conditions coming this week? Michelle Jobin's here with a look at the current conditions. Michelle.
Well, Nathan, yes, a little bit in terms of the 7-day forecast. We have some days with unsettled conditions and some days that are really going to be quite nice. Right now, of course, quite breezy. We have a fair bit of cloud cover, especially downtown. Winds out of the northwest now. That's a cooler feel. 28 kilometer an hour sustained, gusting up to 41 kilometers an hour in the city of Toronto. So we've lost that heat and humidity from the weekend. We've been trending below seasonal today, pretty close to the 20 degree mark for much of the day, even cooler cooler right now in areas like Vaughan and Innisfil. We're at 19 at the islands, 18 at Pearson Airport, mainly cloudy, not a lot of humidity today. Cool overnight as well. Normally we should be at 16. We're going to have an overnight low of 12. I'll be back with your full forecast. Back to you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. Drivers, be warned, they are the efforts to ease congestion on busy city streets. Ramped up rush hour parking enforcement now in effect.
After more than 2 years of looking the other way, officers are once again issuing tickets for infractions. CTV's Janice Golding reports.
So this is a car that is in a signed no parking zone.
If you're stumped where you aren't supposed to be.
But there is a sign right here pointing directly at the car saying no parking.
Be prepared for a hefty ticket. Traffic's back to 90 to 95% of pre-pandemic levels.
This is a $100 fine for the fire hydrant.
So police and parking enforcement officers like Aaron Urquhart are targeting offenders in the Keep Toronto Moving campaign.
I believe if you stop to get a coffee, that's a $100 coffee, I'm going to assume that you're not going to do that again.
There's no question the morning and afternoon commutes are taking a little longer.
I think the traffic has increased significantly. Actually, it's probably worse than pre-pandemic.
It sucks sometimes. I have to go to work at 9. I have to leave house at 7. 2 hours. Yeah, I live in North York.
In addition to the big four, aggressive driving, careless driving, distracted driving, and speeding, Toronto police will be targeting anything that contributes to traffic congestion.
To be courteous to one another, to do all the things that allow traffic to move, not jump into intersections, blocking them when the light's turning yellow so that they get stuck. And that's how congestion begins. And then it just cascades from there.
If you're caught blocking an intersection, you could face a $125 fine. Parking or stopping in a rush hour route could cost you $150.
I agree. Good idea. There's too many people stopping for parcels and people and packages. Uber, especially. Big problem in the city.
I agree with that. Yeah, to get traffic moving, absolutely.
Well, that's their I can park anywhere lights.
The blitz actually began on Thursday, and while police can still use their discretion, the grace period is over.
Yeah, you're fine. Okay, thank you.
Meaning as of today, police will be strictly enforcing the rules of the road. Janice Golding, CTV News.
To a high-powered meeting at Queen's Park.
Doug Ford sitting down with John Tory for the first time since the premier's re-election, and there is plenty to discuss. CTV's Queen's Park reporter Siobhan Morris is live with more. Siobhan.
Well, Nathan, there was no big announcement, no promise of new money out of this meeting, but we did hear both the mayor and the premier talk about the importance of getting on the same page to tackle big problems around housing, gun violence, and a pandemic recovery.
After a behind-closed-doors meeting that lasted a little more than an hour, the Premier and Mayor of Toronto were in lockstep about the need for collaboration.
When we work together on the municipal side and the provincial and federal, we get great things done.
John Tory wants to channel the pandemic spirit of togetherness into what's next.
The things we discussed today, intergovernmental finance, housing, mental health, and a number of other things, are things that are key to making the city successful, which I think in turn will make the province and the country successful.
The province faces new challenges with rising inflation and worries about a possible recession. Doug Ford doesn't plan to make any big changes to his budget to be reintroduced this summer.
We're going to continue pouring money into building roads and highways and schools and hospitals and long-term care homes.
Ford and Tory agree more needs to be done to help build affordable homes of all kinds.
We're not trying to upset stable neighborhoods. We are simply trying to say the status quo is not going to be an option for us in a city that is growing as fast as Toronto.
Really, what we need to do is really encourage the developers out there to build more rental units.
I need to very gently invert this.
The Premier promises information about expanded eligibility for COVID-19 boosters is coming in a week or two. Asked what Ontario's doing now to prepare for a potential resurgence of the virus this fall, Ford highlighted long-term plans to add hospital beds, but says staffing remains a challenge.
We're in desperate, desperate need of more nurses, more docs.
The Premier was again called upon to defend making his nephew Minister of Citizenship and Multiculturalism. Doug Ford feels that Michael Ford's experience representing Northwest Toronto as a school board trustee and city councillor qualifies him.
Etobicoke North, as the mayor knows, is probably one of the most multicultural areas in the entire province.
The mayor, who worked alongside Michael Ford, describes him as thoughtful and hardworking.
Give him a chance. And he'll be held to account by you and everybody else, the legislature, the people, but give him a chance.
Tory appointed Michael Ford to the Police Services Board and Audit Committee.
We are expecting MPPs to return to Queen's Park to pass the budget at some point this summer, but Doug Ford isn't ready to give us a timeline just yet. He says he needs some time to meet with his new cabinet and the rest of the PC caucus. Reporting live from Queen's Park, I'm Siobhan Morris. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, Siobhan. We turn to the struggle to find a home in the GTA and rising rent in the region.
Month-over-month data shows the cost of renting continues to climb, now approaching levels before the start of the pandemic.
There continues to be a ripple effect in the GTA housing market. As the cost to own a home goes up, so too are rental prices.
Being a student, especially in Toronto right now, and living under these house pricing and everything is pretty difficult.
A report by Bullpen Research and Consulting and TorontoRentals.com found the average monthly rent in the GTA was more than $2,300 in May, compared to just less than $2,000 at the same time last year. That's a 16.5% jump.
If you buy a grocery, you can afford to pay your rent, but if you pay your rent, you might not be able to afford your grocery. So for some of the students, has gotten to the point where like you have to do 2-3 side jobs besides being a student to be able to afford these things.
Two-bedroom units are experiencing the largest annual increase, with rent approaching $2,600 a month, which is $352 more than it was in 2021. The report says the surge in demand is due to a number of reasons, from interest rate hikes to low supply and immigration. Those who are homeowners have some advice for renters.
I'd say you have to adjust your goals. It's not likely you're going to be able to buy. So maybe there's something else that you need to do in order to prepare for your future.
As it becomes more challenging to own and rent property.
But keep in mind, even though rental prices are on the rise across the GTA, on average, they are actually still $38 cheaper than before the pandemic.
In Missouri, an Amtrak train derailed after colliding with a dump truck. Two people aboard the train were killed, along with the driver of the truck. There are also multiple people with injuries. The train hit the vehicle at a public crossing near Mendon, and that's a rural area about 160 kilometers northeast of Kansas City. The train was carrying about 243 passengers with a dozen crew members. Amtrak says 8 cars and 2 locomotives derailed. The train was traveling from Los Angeles to Chicago.
It's been a problem for weeks now for people looking to get away after 2 years of travel restrictions. The lineups at passport offices across the country aren't getting any shorter as the application backlog remains a major issue. CTV's Vanessa Lee reports.
The minister responsible, Karina Gould, did say that the situation is the worst here in Montreal. And unfortunately, the situation has not changed much, as you can see in the last few days. There is still a long lineup of people here waiting overnight. Now, when we were here a few days ago, we were told that the wait was 2 nights, and now it has improved slightly to 1 night. We spoke to people who were at the front of this line. They have been here since 6 o'clock last night, and so they did have to spend the night, camp out outdoors in order to be seen inside of the passport office. But there is a triage system that is in place now. So that means that workers have been coming out. We've been seeing them come out right behind me there. There's a couple that's being spoken to by workers right now. So basically, they are going through the line asking people when they are leaving. So that is a major change here. Having said that, though, there is still a lot of frustration because there are a lot of people here who have been lined up overnight, but then there are people being plucked at the back of the line because, let's say, their flight is in the next 12 to 24 hours. So they're wondering where the fairness is in that it is no longer a first-come, first-served system. Having said that, though, people who are leaving in the next 12 to 24 hours, it seems as though they are getting inside and they are getting their applications processed.
CTV's Vanessa Lee. Authorities in Ottawa insist they're ready for any protests on Friday when thousands of people are expected to gather for Canada Day.
We have been gathering intelligence, speaking with organizers, and observing open source online commentary. All of these factors have guided our planning. given what we know and what we're faced with, we have taken an enhanced and extended posture that starts well before the 1st of July and extends well past to ensure we properly protect our city. This will be no small task, but together we will do everything within our power to keep our city and our residents safe.
Police and city officials were criticized for their response to the convoy protest earlier this year. This time they say they'll respond quickly to any illegal activity and are prepared for a number of different scenarios. Multiple police services are providing support, including the OPP and the RCMP.
In Ukraine, a Russian missile struck a crowded shopping center in a city southeast of Kyiv today. At least 13 people were killed. 50 others were injured in the attack in Kremenchuk. The regional governor called it an act of terrorism, saying there is no military target nearby that Russia could have been aiming at. The United Nations calls it deplorable. The U.S. saying it's the latest in a string of atrocities. France is also condemning the strike, insisting Russia must answer for these acts. A second missile hit a sports arena in the city.
Canada sanctioning 74 more people and businesses in Russia and Belarus. More than half of them are linked to the Russian defense sector. Meanwhile, Moscow announced its own set of new sanctions against Canada today. 43 additional Canadians are being banned from entering the country. The list includes former Bank of Canada Governor Mark Carney and chairperson of the Federal Liberal Party, Suzanne Cowen.
The host of the G7 summit in Germany says there can be no return to pre-Ukraine war relationship with Russia.
On day two of the summit, the leaders pledged nearly $30 billion in new aid. They also promised support for Ukraine for as long as it takes. CTV's Kevin Gallagher reports.
On the second day of the G7 summit, President Vladimir Zelensky asked the world's most powerful economies for more air defense weapons, with Russia making gains in the Donbass. The leaders agreed to continue sending military support and are looking for more ways to punish Russia economically.
G7 leaders are increasingly understanding that they have to win the war against Mr. Putin's act of aggression by not paying him for gas. Or oil.
Still, Russian oil revenues are higher now than before the invasion, with pricey crude helping fund Vladimir Putin's war. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau met with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi as discounted Russian oil imports to the world's most populous democracy have grown 50-fold since April. The G7 hopes Modi will cooperate in a global effort to curb Russia's energy profits. The war has trapped millions of tons of grain inside the breadbasket of Europe, raising fears of widespread hunger and famine.
Yeah, my dear.
At the meetings in Germany, wealthy governments are searching for ways to support Ukraine and developing countries with the unfolding food crisis.
The G7 wraps up tomorrow, but global security and Ukraine will still be a top priority for Trudeau when he travels next to the NATO summit in Spain. Kevin Gallagher, CTV News, Garmisch-Partenkirchen, Germany.
Canada has sent military aid to Ukraine, and it will now also answer the call for something else in great demand. Ukraine asked Canada to send seeds and mobile silos to store its grain. That will include buckwheat, which has a shorter growing season than wheat, so it should be easier to cultivate for Ukraine's hard-pressed farmers. They've had their fields mined by Russia and their storage silos destroyed. Many have joined the fight against the Russians. Ukraine's ports have also been blockaded, leading to food shortages in the developing world.
In the UK, the Queen has begun a week of events in Scotland. She took part in an ancient ceremony today at the Palace of Holyrood House in Edinburgh. The 96-year-old monarch was symbolically offered the keys to the city and welcomed to her ancient and hereditary Kingdom of Scotland. The Queen has curtailed her public appearances in recent months because of ongoing mobility issues. She's expected to attend a military ceremony in the palace gardens tomorrow. It will pay tribute to her as head of the British Armed Forces.
Coming up, a brand new batch of hockey greats take their place in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Who made the class of 2022?
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, many people are traveling this summer, and many are using the services of websites like Airbnb. A family traveling to Italy says even though their trip was planned months in advance, their reservation was canceled a week before due to a system glitch. We investigate that story. It's just ahead.
Definitely on the cooler side today, and that carries over into tonight. We have some cloud cover out there, wind out of the northwest, getting down to a low of 12 degrees, which is cool, with a few clouds. Tomorrow, though, sunshine builds back in, as does the warmth. I'll let you know what else you can expect coming up in your 7-day forecast.
After 2 years of the pandemic, many people are traveling this summer, and many are using websites like Airbnb.
While most bookings go off without a hitch, what happens if the host cancels your reservation at the last minute? Here's Pat Foran and Consumer Alert. Pat.
Nathan and Michelle, a family booked to stay in Italy for 1 month, but about a week before they were to go, the host gave their booking to someone else. They were locked out of their Airbnb account, and that left them with nowhere to stay.
We've been using Airbnb for years and years.
Lydia and Anton Malikov of East Gwillimbury love to travel, and after having a baby, they decided to spend a full month in Italy in one location. They booked a place on Airbnb months ago and were ready to take their trip. But about a week before they were to leave, their reservation was canceled.
My account in Airbnb is locked, so I can't even go in to check what happened, who canceled it.
When they contacted Airbnb, they were told their account was suspended in error, but it would be reactivated. But during the time their account was locked, the host became concerned and rented the listing to someone else. Now the Malikovs can't find a place to stay, and prices have more than doubled.
We don't know what to do. We don't know if we're going or not.
It is their fault, as it was their system error.
And they have admitted that it was a mistake on their side.
CTV News reached out to Airbnb, which called the situation unfortunate. They agreed to help the couple find a new listing and told us the Canadian guests traveling to Italy have been successfully rebooked and they have been issued a full refund. The Malikovs were also given a voucher to pay the difference on a more expensive rental property. We reached them in Italy, where they were relieved to salvage their trip.
We're happy to be here. We're, I guess, happy to move forward.
We love the place. We would recommend everybody to come and visit.
Thank you, CTV.
And it's still not clear what caused the account to be suspended, but Airbnb says its terms of service shows accounts can be deactivated for a number of reasons. If it happens to you, you'll need to contact the website right away. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Japan is bracing for a possible power crunch as temperatures soar there nationwide. Authorities are asking people to cut back on electricity use amid higher than expected demand. North of Tokyo, the temperature topped 40 degrees on Saturday, the highest ever for June. It was 35 degrees in the capital, where more than 250 people were taken to hospitals for treatment for heat stroke. It was the earliest end to their annual rainy season across much of Japan since data was first recorded in 1951. That's too bad we couldn't give them a little bit of our reprieve, because the heat has kind of disappeared for a minute and the clouds really pushing in later today.
Yeah, but it's a nice difference from Saturday. It feels a bit more comfortable at least to be outside.
It's a nice comfortable break, of course, because we had two different instances of pretty intense heat last week. And we are going to return to some more summer-like warmth as we get later on in the 7-day forecast, but trending a little bit below seasonal overnight tonight and yet again later on this week as well, and I'll show you that coming up. Weather is brought to you by Train, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a train. So for perspective, a seasonal high at this time of the year is 26 degrees in Toronto at Pearson Airport. So today we got to 21. We've already dropped down to 18, and we sort of started to see our temperature climb, and then we had wind swing around more out of the northwest, and that colder flow of air out of the northwest coupled with some cloud cover from a trough line that was in place really helped to sort of put a damper on our temperature. As we get through the overnight, as we're prone to that overnight, that northwesterly flow, look at this, 7 degrees in London, 9 in Godbridge, 8 in Waterloo, 12 in Toronto. Toronto. So definitely below seasonal throughout the region. We've got some single digit lows on the cooler side. But as we get into the day tomorrow, things are looking more like this. We get the sunshine back. We get the warmth back. Seasonally speaking, these are seasonal normal highs for this time of the year in the mid-20s. And the UV index will be an 8, so still very high. What we don't see a lot of in our forecast for tomorrow is humidity. That doesn't build in until later in the week. However, we do have some pollen to tell you about. And if you're like me and have allergies, specifically to grass, it's still around. It's still a factor. Slow spruce, pine, fir, and some miscellaneous weeds as well. So those could be bothering you. As we look at our satellite and radar, we've had one system move off. That was a bit of a weather maker for us yesterday. In behind it, this cooler flow of air. We have another system that moves in for Wednesday. And this is why we're a little unsettled. We've got today, then we've got sunshine tomorrow and warmth. And then Wednesday, things cool down a bit and we do get some rainfall. So I want to show you how that plays out. A little bit of spotty shower activity off to the north and to the east of us, especially getting later on this evening into the Kingston area. That starts to clear out tomorrow. We all clear out tomorrow in southern Ontario. We get that sunshine during the day. And then as we get Tuesday overnight into Wednesday, we see the arrival of this front across southern Ontario, moving in across the Upper Great Lakes first, arriving here for us for the morning commute. That's going to last with us, I would say, into the late morning. And then as we get into the afternoon, we might get some heavier cells popping up. We could get heavier amounts of rain in the late afternoon before we clear out yet again, because we've got a little bit of a roller coaster here on the 7-day forecast. So unsettled today with that cloud, cooler temperatures, seasonal tomorrow, 25 with that sunshine. System moves in overnight into Wednesday, 21. So cooler than seasonal again with that rain during the day, up to 27 for Thursday. And we start to see that humidex on the rise for Thursday. It got the sunshine. Canada Day on Friday, it's going to be hotter. It's going to be more humid. Upper 30s humidex and the risk of seeing some thunderstorm, then lots of sunshine on the way in seasonal for the weekend. Back to you, Nathan.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Also tonight, a new Omicron variant taking hold in Ontario. When it's expected to become the dominant strain and what it means for the current COVID situation in the province.
On air, online, on every platform.
Escape tragedy by mere moments.
CTV News Toronto.
A story you'll only see here.
Winner of the Canadian Screen Award for Best Local Newscast.
We have developing details.
Watch weeknights at 6.
This week marks a turn in Ontario's coronavirus response. The BA.5 variant of Omicron taking over as the dominant form.
CTV's health reporter Pauline Chan has more on what this means for the road ahead.
Based on the PCR testing being done in Ontario, BA.5 is set to cross over the 50% threshold this week.
For Ontario, BA.5 was very, very low percentage even 8 weeks ago. And it's quickly escalated because it is outcompeting the prior version of the virus, the BA.4s, the BA.2s, and the BA.1s. And it's now at more than half of cases in the province.
Why is this important?
Some of the global studies have also shown that it's less likely to respond to vaccination. So it has the ability to evade prior vaccination or immunity you may have had from an infection.
Even if you had another version of Omicron, as many did during the spring, you could still get reinfected with BA.5.
The surface of BA.5 has sufficiently mutated now that it just looks different to your body and it's slipping through the defenses from the immune system.
Vaccine manufacturers are trying to make an Omicron-specific vaccine, but it's not clear when that might be available.
I think it's widely held among the medical community and public health community that we may have a very challenging fall. So why is that? The versions of the virus that are circulating continue to mutate. Cold weather in Canada means people are increasingly indoors.
And Dr. Razak says public hygiene measures should continue to be employed, including getting your vaccinations. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
It was a tight race for the top spot of the box office over the weekend.
Ready to fly?
I'm ready. Ready to fly.
Elvis, the biopic about the famous singer, earned more than $30 million in its debut weekend. The movie was number one Friday, but dropped to second on Saturday. It's currently tied with Top Gun: Maverick in the money race. The action film starring Tom Cruise also earned roughly $30 million in its fifth week in theaters.
It has never been done before. Students at Cambridge University Hospitals will get medical training using holographic patients.
What simulation allows us to do is to have our students fail in a safe environment and to feel safe to fail. That's not something we want to do with real patients. And so the simulation environment allows the students to take those next steps in their learning where they have an increasingly real environment around them to practice the skills and techniques that they'll need when they come to meet real patients.
The students can learn in simulated, highly realistic scenarios. Virtual reality totally replaces the user's surroundings with virtual elements, but this solution adds virtual elements to a real environment. It's called mixed reality. The technology will be available as soon as next year.
A six-time Emmy winner will grace the screen during the final season of Better Call Saul. Carol Burnett will guest star as a character named Marion. Burnett says she's thrilled to be part of her favorite show. The second half of the sixth and final season is set to air beginning July 11th. The series finale is scheduled for August 15th.
Wimbledon began today with some familiar faces returning to the court after lengthy layoffs.
Defending champion Novak Djokovic kicked things off with a victory over South Korea's Kwon Soon-woo. Djokovic is seeking his fourth straight title at Wimbledon. The 35-year-old says there's added motivation to win as it may be 11 months before he's allowed to compete in another Grand Slam tournament. Djokovic has been banned from Australia for 3 years after a spat over his vaccination status ahead of January's tournament. Djokovic will be unable to compete in the U.S. Open later this year as proof of vaccination is still required to enter the country.
And Serena Williams will hit the court tomorrow for her first Grand Slam singles match in a year.
We last saw her in Toronto in 2019 when she lost to Bianca, but never count Serena out. You know, she's on 23 Grand Slams, trying to get to 24, get the record for the Open era. And, you know, with her ability and her power and just, you know, her determination to do well on the court, you know, she's always a favorite to, you know, win Wimbledon.
The 40-year-old suffered a serious leg injury during last year's tournament, prompting speculation she might retire. Williams will be seeking her 24th Grand Slam title, which would tie her with Margaret Court for the most by any player.
A number of notable Canadians will also be in action tomorrow. Both Felix Auger-Aliassime and Denis Shapovalov will play their first-round matches in the men's draw. Meanwhile, 2019 U.S. Open winner Bianca Andreescu will be in action on the women's side. Leila Fernandez will also be playing. However, she will only be competing in doubles at Wimbledon this year.
The Toronto Maple Leafs have signed defenseman Timothy Liljegren to a two-year extension. The deal has an average annual value of just under $1.4 million. The 23-year-old Swede had 23 points in 61 regular season games last season. Liljegren was selected 17th overall by Toronto in the 2017 NHL draft.
The Hockey Hall of Fame has announced its class of 2022. Henrik and Daniel Sedin headline this year's inductees. The superstar twins were dominant during their careers with the Vancouver Canucks. The others entering the hall are former goaltender Roberto Luongo, former Ottawa Senators captain Daniel Alfredson, and Finnish women's player Riikka Salonen, and Herb Carnegie, one of hockey's first black superstars.
The Toronto Blue Jays have added a potential arm to their bullpen.
Towards the gap at left center, Julio giving chase, and this is gone into the Orioles' bullpen.
The team has reached an agreement on a contract with Sergio Romo. The 39-year-old right-hander was designated for assignment by the Seattle Mariners last week. He was subsequently released. Romo recorded no decisions and an 8.16 ERA in 17 appearances out of the Seattle bullpen.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
After the break, consumer confidence reaches a concerning low, typically only seen during times of economic crisis. The details and tonight's other business headlines coming up.
A new strain on the system. Tomorrow on CP24 Breakfast. Why health experts are keeping a close eye on the latest COVID variant. CP24 Breakfast, where Toronto gets its everything every morning.
Good
This has been just such a tragic event that nobody could ever imagine happening. I think everybody can relate to it, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or anybody. And I think everybody's really reeling in town from this right now.
Updating our top stories, the town of Bancroft is in shock following the death of a toddler last week. 23-month-old Everett Smith died on Thursday after he was accidentally left in a hot car outside the school where his mother works.
I thought it's only like happened like after the visiting day or something like that, but even in the morning, like everyone is here, you know? It's robbery.
Police are investigating a violent bank robbery in Chinatown. A suspect jumped the counter at a BMO branch on Spadina north of Dundas and stabbed an employee several times. The victim suffered serious but non-life-threatening injuries, and the suspect is still out there.
I also want to thank Mayor Tory for working collaboratively for many years.
After 8 years in this job is that when it comes to housing and a bunch of other issues, but housing in particular, it is not going to happen if anyone in government's trying to do it alone.
Premier Doug Ford met with Mayor John Tory today for the first time since being reelected. The leaders discussed the need for collaboration, saying they will continue to work together to tackle the pandemic as well as address affordable housing.
Remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you ever have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know.
In business, consumer confidence in this country is falling as high prices and rising interest rates squeeze the finances of Canadians. With more, here's Jacqueline Hansen from B&M Bloomberg.
Consumer confidence is at lows typically only seen during economic crises. The Bloomberg Nanos Canadian Confidence Index declined for a ninth straight week to its lowest level since early on in the pandemic. The only other time it's fallen that low since the poll began was during the financial crisis and recession in 2008 and 2009. Nanos Research has conducted the survey every week since 2008, asking Canadians for their views on personal finances, job security, the economy, and real estate prices. Bitcoin continues to fall today. While the cryptocurrency has gone through other major drops in its history, a drop of 70% from its November peak is drawing the attention of many, including the Bank for International Settlements, known as the Central Bank to Central Banks. In its annual report on the global economy, it dedicates several pages to crypto, saying it is essential to fill data gaps and identify entry points for regulation. A shortage of honeybees is hurting some berry farmers in this country. Bloomberg News reports that blueberry farmers in particular are struggling to get the pollinators they need to boost their crops. Canadian beekeepers have, on average, lost half their colonies this year. Some experts say overworked bees have helped create a pollination crisis. Rising death rates of honeybees around the world in recent years have also been attributed to issues from extreme weather and crop chemical exposure to parasites. Let's take a look at some of the closing market numbers for today. The Canadian dollar is trading at 77.62 cents U.S., up less than a tenth of a cent. West Texas Intermediate Oil is trading higher by nearly $2 at $109.57 U.S., and Western Canadian Select is up $2.64 at just over $92 U.S. a barrel. As for stock markets, the TSX gained more than 195 points to end the day slightly above 19,250. That is the latest in business. I'm Jacqueline Hansen of BNN Bloomberg.
It's a big buy for one basketball buff. Someone has paid $2.4 million for a one-of-a-kind LeBron James trading card.
Imagine Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory, everybody looking for that golden ticket. And then imagine there was only one golden ticket instead of five. That's what this was.
The Triple Logo Man card features game-used patches from each of the teams James has played for, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Miami Heat, and Los Angeles Lakers. James, a four-time MVP, already holds a special place in the hearts of collectors. An ultra-rare signed rookie card set a record for the most expensive basketball card after it sold for $5.2 million.
After a two-year hiatus, the summertime market is returning to Union Station.
We take two steps back.
Union Summer outside the entrance to the Transit Hub on Front Street offers live entertainment, a patio, and food and drinks for people to enjoy every day until August 28th.
Just ahead, a new discovery on the moon. Just what created a pair of craters?
Tonight we'll have a progress report on the new plan to ease passport wait times.
The way they organize it last minute like this makes no sense.
So far, the lineups are still moving at a snail's pace. We'll have details later on CTV National News.
NASA has discovered something new on the surface of the moon. In March, a spent rocket impacted the lunar surface, and it created two new craters. One is about 18 meters in diameter, the other about 16 meters. The identity of the rocket body remains a mystery, but because it caused a double crater, it may have had large masses at each end.
In Indonesia, a villager and his son wrangled a huge crocodile using only a thin rope. The massive reptile had been roaming around the village for at least 2 days. Not only was it dangerous, the big intruder was preventing them from going into the rice fields. The crocodile was found to be almost 4.5 meters long. Conservation officers eventually loaded it onto a truck so it could be taken away and released into an unpopulated area. That's better.
Safer. Yeah, that's good.
Much better.
And I think the weather will be much better tomorrow in terms of like sun and a bit more heat.
Yeah, we've had this nice little refreshing pause from the heat. But what we're looking at is temperatures starting to climb a little bit as we get later on into the day tomorrow. Let's take a look at where we are right now in terms of temperatures. We got to a high of 21 degrees today, sitting at 18 right now. Waking up a little cooler after a low of 12. Sunshine on the way tomorrow and 25. Showers and 21 on Wednesday. Hotter later in the week.
Thanks, Michelle. And be sure to join Zoraida Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.
Good night.